Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Russ, K5TUX, coming to you with another episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. And along with me, as he has been since episode number 101, up there near Montreal, Canada, is Pete, V2XPL. How you doing, Pete?
Good evening, everyone. Thanks. Yeah, here in Montreal. It's episode 103, by the way. Richard left at episode 100, and then there was a few hosts in between that. You had some guys from one of the Linux shows, I can't remember which one, and Harrison was on, and then I came on. So there you go.
Well, you were here
all cataloged, so I know.
You were here in spirit as soon as Richard left.
I was listening, and I think I was even listening live as of episode 100.
Well, excellent.
Talking.
So, and yeah. And see how far you've come in just a few short episodes.
I know. I'm a professional now. It's awesome.
I know. It's great. Well, we have some stuff to talk about, and if I had the Etherpad up in front of me, I might know what those things were. So it is August the 27th right now as we record, and when you're listening to it, it is not August the 27th, unless you're live in the chat room, which you should be. But if you're not, this is some days hence. And
yeah, some people just can't be.
Yeah, that's true. Some people just can't be. Some people they just don't think we're as important as all that.
No, they want to be. They just can't be.
Well,
they know we're all that in a bag of potato chips.
Exactly.
But they have lives.
And if you want to tell us that we're all that in a bag of potato chips, send us an email or drop us a voicemail. We'll get to how you can do that at the end of the show. But interestingly enough, the show last time, episode 111, ran really long, much longer than I thought it would be. So I had to cut out. Well, it turns out I thought it was a lot longer than it was, but it was about 5 minutes of stuff that I cut out. Because I thought it was just sort of idle chit-chat, but it turns out there were really some golden nuggets of information in that 5 minutes. And the rest of the hour and 32 from the last episode went out as planned, but I'm going to put those 5 minutes back in now because it really had some good information. So everybody sit back for just under 5 minutes and listen to the stuff that you didn't hear from last episode.
I have a question.
Okay, ask your question.
PAE kernel, why would you want to move away from it? Is there anything good or bad about it, and what's the alternative?
Other than the fact that you don't get the additional perks with PAE, which I'll explain in just a second, the laptop that I have here does not support PAE in the processor. What a PAE kernel does is, I remember reading somewhere it's like a 36-bit kernel instead of a 32-bit kernel, fancy thing with the processor. Where you can address up to 64, I think it's gigabytes. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Russ, but I think it's 64 gigabytes of memory instead of the 3.9 gigabyte upper limit of the 32-bit variety. So a PAE kernel essentially lets you address more memory without having to switch to a 64-bit processor, kernel, and whole operating system.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, PAE stands for Physical Address Extensions, just as a note.
Yeah, I'd actually looked up the wiki, but I read it and I still didn't understand. So thanks for the explanation. I appreciate that.
All right, cool. Well, there's a brief explanation of PAE, why you might want it or don't want it. And that's one thing about 32-bit machines is they will only address up to slightly under 4 gigs of RAM. So if your machine has 4 gigs of RAM or more in it, and you use a standard kernel, you will not be able to address it. You either need to use a PAE kernel, as most of the kernels and most of the distributions come with by default nowadays, or you have to have a 64-bit kernel.
And you wouldn't even know that, because we've had machines professionally that, you know, they're like, oh yeah, there's 8 gigs of RAM in here, and then, you know, the next guy comes along and says, yeah, well, there's 8 gigs, but you know, this version of Windows will only address 4. So the guy sold you 8 gigs, but you don't really need it, and the machine doesn't let you know. So you're sitting there, you know, how do they say, fat, dumb, and happy, thinking, yeah, I've got 8 gigs of RAM, and your machine's only using half of it, and you just have no idea. Not that it's the end of the world, but it's kind of nice if all your hardware is at its most efficient. So that's kind of an important thing to know.
Of course.
Yeah, a generic kernel kind of ends up like Canada Post. Past a certain number of addresses, the mail gets lost.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course, an educated listener, like those who listen to this show are, would know that they could go into a command prompt or a terminal, as it's known in the Linux world, and type free, F-R-E-E, and it will tell you how much RAM is available in the system, including the upper limit. So in that way, you would know if you have all of your memory being addressed.
I guess I'm now an educated listener because I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, neither did I. And I'm glad that Harrison's saying you didn't know that because you're way more advanced than I am. But yeah, there's a lot of new guys that listen to this too. So it's these little tips that make all the difference, Russ.
Yeah. It's amazing we had to go, 105 minutes before we got to that little bit of information, but that's okay.
Well, we can just delete the rest, and then
that's right.
So it'll be 5 minutes long.
This will be a 2-minute podcast, and most of it will be intro and outro.
It's a little cryptic to read, though, just as a note.
Free?
Yeah, I just typed it in, and it's total, and you have to insert your own commas.
Okay, there's a great thing in the world of POSIX-based commands where the dash H switch in a lot of commands stands for human readable. This applies to things like du and df, and free for that matter. So if you're confused about, what you're being shown, just type free dash h and it will make things very clear to you.
I just did, and it's a whole lot better. Yeah. Kind of like uptime dash H and just uptime. Uptime looks totally cryptic, like you're up for 1,556 seconds, whereas uptime dash H shows you 6 days, 24 hours, 36 minutes, 2 seconds.
Right. The dash H flag doesn't work for everything, but it works for a lot of things. And whenever it stands for human readable, that's the one you're looking for. So two nuggets of information there.
Golden nuggets. Yeah, I just typed it into it. Worked for me. My first foray into the terminal. I typed in free and something came back that's not command not found.
All right.
Hooray for me.
Excellent. Okay. Well, there you go. A little bit from episode 111 that got cut out and has now returned. And it looks like we may have a guest coming on with us.
A special guest. We call him Chat Ninja.
Yeah, he's Mystic Lugnut. And,
I know, it's cool.
And if he decides to call in, then maybe we'll get to talk to him.
Stealthy like a badger, he says. He claims.
Yeah.
That's his tagline.
Well, in the meantime, while we're waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, we're sitting there. Let's just wait.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Anyway, if the phone starts ringing, it could get very cool in here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually pretty cool here tonight.
Yeah, well, it's not cool here. I'm waiting for it to cool down.
It's humid, but it's cool.
So, all right. Well, we have some more stuff from about Harrison. Harrison's like infiltrating the show. He's taking it over one podcast at a time in 5-minute segments. So
one podcast at a time. We steal that from our friends.
I don't know. I think I made it up. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I heard it in my dreams last night.
You don't know. How does it? Oh God, how does it go? You're gonna have to cut this part out. I sound like an idiot. Well, as usual.
See, those are the parts we leave in.
Yeah, let's just move on because it's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, last episode we talked about, Harrison talked about Crunchbang Linux, and Pete found a pretty long and interesting review of Crunchbang. Well, okay, it's not that long. It's in small text.
It's a small text on OS. excuse me, let me be professional here. It's OS Static, which is a website that deals with information on all kinds of open source software and services. And I just kind of happened to run into that, and I thought of Harrison, and it's quite appropriate that the story is second, considering that he was just virtually chatting to us first. But a very favorable article on Crunchbang called Beautiful Minimalism, and it was posted just a few days ago, August 22nd, by somebody called John Byes, who I do not know, but I guess is a contributor to the OS Static blog. And there was just a couple of things that caught my attention where he says that basically it is a Ubuntu-based system, of course, but it's very suitable for older and low-resource computers. He claims it's an alternative to Puppy Linux, although there's, you know, a couple of alternatives to CrunchBang if you look around a little bit. But he claims, what caught my eye in the article, he says, the CrunchBang open box environment feels like visiting a calm lake in the mountains. It is almost a meditative experience. It's a little bit fluffy, but, you know, basically because there's no bells, no whistles, no crazy zooming windows, he says, random crash alerts, blah, blah, blah. It's very, very zen. So the simplicity certainly makes it easier to use, I thought. And he says that he found nothing about the default environment that he wasn't able to modify to suit his needs with a little bit of tweaking. So he gives it a solid thumbs up. I don't know why he didn't give it two. Maybe he only has one thumb. But anyhow, if you want to check it out, OS Static, the link will be in the show notes, osstatic.com under blogs, and it's called CrunchBang Beautiful Minimalism. It's only a couple paragraphs long. It's worth the quick read.
Yeah, the thing is, you were reading that description of, you know, how it's all very calm and zen and stuff like that. The words he was using kind of made me think of something that's more pomp and circumstance than actual function, which is sort of the opposite of the image he was trying to portray, I think. But I don't know. We all use words in different ways.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to be more...
he's waxing
pretty words.
Right, he's waxing poetic about a Linux distribution. So
I don't know. Like I said, fluffy article, but interesting nonetheless.
I think CrunchBang would be an interesting E.E. Cummings poem. It's too bad he's dead.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of CrunchBang. It's one of the distributions that I find myself going back to every once in a while. You know, they get a new release, just for fun, I'll download it, check it out, see what's changed, and then I'll kind of, doesn't always exactly do what I need it to do on different machines, so then I'll go back to this, go back to that. I've been defaulting to Mint a lot, just because it's easy. You know, Mint is just easy, I find. It does everything you need out of the box. But if you're looking for some little light distributions, that's one of them that I certainly recommend you try. It might just be your fit.
Yep, definitely give it a look if you're looking for something, especially if you need to run it on lower-end hardware. It's a good option, and it even looks good despite the fact that it doesn't run a heavyweight desktop environment. It's a good option. So
no, and it's got that cool feature at the top right that tells you how long your computer's been up for. See, that's how sure they are of their code, how solid the code is. They'll put a little timer up there just to tell you how long you haven't had to reboot.
In a way, that's kind of interesting, because anytime I've used Conky itself has been really crashy. So,
Oh, is that what that application is called, Conky? Yeah.
Well, I believe that part is part of Conky, the sort of system monitor. You can have Conky do all kinds of things. It's basically just a way to write system information into the root window. So
okay, well, good to know.
But anyway, yeah. Let's go on to something that no one cares about, and the reason that the Russian shortwave service is closing down is because no one cares. So.
No, I actually listen to the Voice of Russia every once in a while. It's up on 40 meters there. It's around 72.54, I think, somewhere around there. Have to look it up. That's horrible. I should have looked it up before. I'll put it in the show notes in case you want to listen. But basically, you have until the end of the year. Of course, I can't find the article now. My notes are all over the place. I apologize, people. The Russian government's international radio broadcasting service called the Voice of Russia, or Golosos Rossi, will stop the shortwave broadcast on, January 1st of 2014. So this is, of course, due to financial funding cuts, which seems to be the case. But, I mean, you know, financial funding cuts also, you know, anybody could listen to it on the internet. So it's kind of sad because we saw it happen to the BBC, stopped recently. The what was it, about a year and a half ago, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even 2 years, because time certainly flies. And Voice of Russia has been going since 1929, almost as long as BBC's broadcast. And I just find it a little sad. So you have until the end of the year.
Well, maybe I should catch one of their broadcasts. One in 90 years, I guess that is good for something. And I can say I listened to the Voice of Russia before it became non-existent.
Yeah, I seem to get them around, I guess it would be 8 p.m. your time, 9 Eastern. So that would be 1 UTC.
Ah, that's actually at a time when I could sit down and listen to them. So maybe I will do that. And more than likely, I will not.
Struggling to get to it to see if I could find it right now.
We're going to rebroadcast. We're going to syndicate the Voice of Russia on our podcast tonight.
They're quitting. So will we get in trouble? Maybe not.
Probably not. I don't think the Russians are going to come over here and take down one little podcast. But
never know.
Start the new Cold War.
Maybe they're listening right now.
Oh, is that them?
No, yes, that was them. They're coming to get you.
All right.
No,
so,
I'm gonna give up.
Okay, good. That means we can talk about the next story, which is that we're all gonna pay more money to be hams.
No, not necessarily. Although this is a ham-related story, so we're getting back on track. The FCC has decided that effective August 23rd, just a few days ago, the new regulatory fee for getting a vanity call sign will be $16.10, and that's up from $15. So for some reason, they were going to go from $15 to $15.20 is what the talks had been, but when the actual increase came out, it came out as $16.10, and the commission offered no explanation for the higher fee than had been proposed. It's a vanity call sign. So if you apply for your regular call sign, just whatever the state offers you, you pay the regular fee. I'm not even sure what that is, Russ, because you'll have to enlighten me as to what you guys pay when you get your licensing.
Well,
it's free if you have a real one, Richard says.
That's true. Well, you have to pay for taking the tests, but once you've done that, then there's no renewal fees. But I forget what the vanity call sign fee was when I did it. I think it was $10. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so anyhow, if you really want one that badly, I don't think that going from $15 to $16.10 is going to break the bank. And if it does, then don't get a vanity call sign, and you'll still be able to play radio. Yes, it's an increase. It sucks. Everything's more expensive. I don't find that one to be that unreasonable, and especially the ARRL don't seem to be the kind of entity that increases their pricing, exorbitantly.
Right. Yeah, I think they do what they need to cover their costs. And
I said the ARRL, but I meant the FCC.
A small oversight that I don't think anyone would have noticed, except you bothered to point it out, which means now everyone knows you made a mistake. And of course, I will make sure that's good and loud in the recording.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Pump it up. Put it on 11.
All right. So anyway, I think that's about all we have for our first segment. Some interesting news and some old business taken care of. And I believe we may have our secret color after the first bit of music. And
you have a vanity call sign, don't you?
Of course I have a vanity call sign. No one would have gotten this one, by luck.
You never know. Well, there you go. See, so you got in before the huge increase. So
yeah, the huge increase. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
we
can't
even get vanity call signs here in Canada. I can get a second call sign if I want, but I can't get a vanity call sign. So I'll pay $60 and they'll send me another one that they choose. Actually, I can propose three and they'll pick one. But it's not necessarily a vanity call sign. It has to be a Victor Echo for me in Quebec, Victor Echo 2. And then I get to choose the last three letters. If they're available, I get to have them. If not, well, they say too bad.
Well, I know the one you should get. You should get Victor Echo 3, Victor Romeo Echo.
Victor Romeo Echo 4?
So it would be Verve.
Yeah, no, that's okay. LHS, I thought you were going to say Victor Echo 2 LHS.
Oh, well, that would be good too. But I was trying to call back to our little discussion. Yes,
Verve.
Yes, the Verve. Oh, actually, you could use the 3, though, for the E, but you have to be Victor Echo, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm 2, though. I've 3 is Ontario. So
oh, province, Victor so. Echo 2.
It's only 40 minutes. I can go there quite easily.
Well, most people ignore the number anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so since both of the bits of music tonight are yours, why don't you go ahead and intro?
I know, it's the Pete Show tonight. Welcome. Welcome to the Pete Show. Tonight's music will be brought to you by Jamendo. Of course, Jamendo is a fine entity. I love them. Great, great source for open source free music. I mean free as in open source and not free as in money, but it is free as in money as well. But I digress. The group that we're featuring for our first tune is called the Spark Thugs. The track is called Catawampus, 3 minutes and 15 seconds. It was published in 2013. It's a brand new track from the month of March. These guys are from St. Louis, Missouri. So they're from your neck of the woods there, Russ.
Just up the road a piece.
Pardon me?
Just up the road a piece.
Just up the road a piece in the U.S. of A. So go USA. Anyhow, enjoy the track, Catawampus by the Spark Thugs.
Look, it's the Mystic Lug Nut. Yay!
Wow, hello, this is cool. People. How are you doing?
What the hell have y'all been doing in here? It smells like Canadian bacon. It smells like Vegemite.
And roasted and badger.
I detect a hint of the chemical plants down in Houston. What the hell have y'all been up to?
Well, if you've been listening to the show, you'd know, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So I guess we have to visit, you know, we're gonna go against the grain. We're gonna tell Adam Curry he can badger off, and we're actually going to sit here and ask Richard how he's been. I know from Facebook the answer to this question, but try not to make it quite so grim.
Oh, everything's been peachy.
Okay.
Peachy.
That's all you're going to say about it? It's been months. You haven't been on the show in months.
Well, I've been busy. I've been learning stuff.
Lessons?
Learning how to work on cars and stuff. Yeah, it's not spectacular. Not at all.
You say working on cars?
Yeah.
That's cool. I love working on cars.
Chryslers.
I love working on old cars mostly. New cars are too complicated.
Hey, if you can't get a real job, you might as well work for number 3.
Number 3? I don't even know if I want to ask.
Well, he lost me too, so I have no idea.
He's talking about Chrysler, the big 3. But,
GM, Ford, Chrysler.
I'm a GM guy, although I've had Ford trucks almost all my life, and I love them, and I love working on them. I honestly have never owned a Chrysler. Well, that's not true. My first car was a Volare. Totally digress. A Plymouth Volare.
Well, Pete, just go ahead and tell us all about that.
It was green. That's a boot, all I have to say.
See, there you go. It slides right past him. Everybody else got
it's a boot. It's a boot.
No, he heard it.
I got it.
All right. For anybody who doesn't know, who tuned into the show late, and I assume that there are people who have only listened to the past few, the third voice that you're now hearing is Richard. And Richard is KB5JBV, and he was the co-host and sort of still is.
Wait.
What?
I am still
the co-host.
No. I am Robo Richard. I am the guy in the little box on Russ's desk. He just reaches down, hits a button, I say something.
You don't have to be mentally deficient to do this job, but it sure helps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we know he's really here, Russ? Huh?
That's true. Well, my soundboard didn't become sentient overnight, so I'm pretty sure this is either a really good AI or it might actually be Richard.
Of course, you are.
I've been accused of not being sentient, but what you said quite often.
Well, everybody misses you. I think it was even mentioned in the chat room that they miss you.
When? Absolutely. I don't see it.
Well,
not today.
Not it's today. Cool. That's right. Yeah. Every day before today.
Every day except for this show. The fans aren't here today because, I don't know.
Damn.
Because you are.
It doesn't show if I'm not in there. Doggone it.
It doesn't.
I go back to 8 o'clock, but I don't know what month it was.
I don't know. Maybe he's been spying all this time.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe.
It's easy to make a different name, different identity.
See, Ted knows me. Rest of y'all, it took y'all a while to figure it out. Ted knows.
Well, I've seen that Nick before. I wasn't saying anything.
What'd y'all do with Bill? Did y'all fire him?
No, Bill fired himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He said he got an actual job and he could no longer be a part of this catastrophe that we call a podcast.
Oh, just show back up.
I don't need a job. What are you talking about?
I know. There's people crawling out of the woodwork. We have our old co-host on tonight, so maybe Bill's out there somewhere.
Who?
Actually, Bill's in the chat room regularly.
Get the hell out of here.
Bill was in the chat room earlier?
No, oh, regularly. Co-host. He's in the chat room. The chat room. He's in the chat room, you know, once in a while.
See, that's what happens when you come from a place where, like, half the people speak French and half speak something that resembles English, and the other half, well,
you have no idea, Richard. You have no idea. I'm from the Maritimes, which is even worse, because there they actually talk a mixture of French and English, but all at the same time.
I think we're
messed up in Montreal. Yeah, it's actually a lot like Louisiana.
It's worse than New Orleans.
That Cajun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was just going to say, don't.
Talking about my sister's boyfriend.
It's a boot. It's a boot that, buddy.
Every time you say chat for chat, I think it's a past tense of something.
It's a chat. That's going downhill fast.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should do some news.
That would be a chapeau, also a sombrero in Old Mexico.
A chapeau, yes.
And as an ode to Richard, I bought a chapeau de cowboy when I was in the Maritimes for $15. I was ecstatic. See, this is a nice little straw hat.
This is why he's no longer on the show, people.
It's a nice hat.
Oh, boy.
Now, see, y'all tried to talk about something 3 or 4 times, and I have interrupted it.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much par for the course for the first 100 eps.
Well, yeah, welcome to the retro version.
That's right. I have to think of a good retro name for this podcast or for this episode.
And we'll go back to the how you been thing, but we'll do it after everything's over, so they have to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's a good idea. Actually, I'll name it after one of my favorite Nine Inch Nails albums, The Downward Spiral.
There you go. We're descending into madness once more. Once more into madness, Badger by my side.
And this is WCOJ, where the static is.
There you have it. You know, that station's been out of business for however long it's been since I said that.
Was it you that put him out?
No, I had to what was the guy's name? Rob Simcox? No. Yeah, Rob Simcox. He did a paranormal kind of show late night on WCOJ, and then they kicked him off. He went to another station. The guy that was his sound man at COJ took his place. It didn't last very long. It was a very, very sad story. However, Rob is still available on Facebook. Just look for Rob Simcox. Rob Simcox. He posts some fairly interesting stuff from time to time. Y'all just go look for him over on Facebook.
I noticed that.
There's my ad.
Go ahead.
Ad for Facebook.
Your ad for Facebook.
Blah, 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 blah.
I noticed that Pete said that he really wanted to do an episode with you before he knew you were you. So I want to know.
I had no idea. It's a good thing I didn't say anything bad about it. It's a good thing I like you.
Are you starstruck now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, I listen to every episode. Of course, Russ calls me on this all the time. He says, don't you remember we talked about that, you idiot? I'm like, no, there's been like 100 episodes. But anyhow, I digress yet again. I've listened to every episode, I swear. And yeah, it's just really cool to be on both of you guys.
Let me tell you, like I tell them at work, digression abounds. Digression abounds. It is inevitable. It is like one of the rules of Finagle. You cannot get away from it. Digression abounds. It's kind of like the perversity of the universe tends towards maximum. So, carry on.
Okay.
Point is proven, indeed.
All right.
Now it's time for some rude noises.
They're only rude if they're real. Come on.
Don't get them started, for crying out loud.
Just let me adjust the microphone.
Oh, goodness.
Careful, your ribs are going to start hurting.
Hey, do we want to talk about a Linux topic? How about that?
Yeah, Linux Mint sucks.
Yeah, we've heard that one before.
Ubuntu's worse.
Well, how can you say Linux? How can Linux Mint be worse than Ubuntu when they are the same thing, more or less?
Have they started charging for applications in Linux Mint?
Not yet.
Alrighty then.
Will they?
And see, I'm sorry I missed the part about Crunchbang, because I ran Crunchbang for a little while.
I remember that. I remember you ran it on a little machine because I listened.
Yes, old beat up laptop. It would run, what is it, the D-Star chat application thing.
Wasn't that like a Latitude, if I recall?
Yeah, and I think I still got it around here somewhere. No, it's not here. It's in the mini warehouse. That's part of the epic tale that y'all get to hear if you sign up for the extra stuff. $2, what is it, a month, Russ?
$2 a month or $20 a year, yep.
See? $2 a month, $20 a year, you get to find out all the death and destruction that Richard has been through in the last few months.
And we don't even adjust for inflation.
This is 12, so it's been at least 6 months.
Yeah.
This is 112, so it's been at least 6 months. Yeah, February was really rough.
Mm.
Tune in to the pay-for stuff, and you'll find this business out. So let's talk about something Linux-y. Let's see what y'all got. That's crap. What else? Crap.
You guys realize I just hung up and came back?
No.
Oh, crap.
No, we were off in our own
Nobody
world.
Noticed. I just disappeared. I'm like, oh, crap, I just hung up.
We didn't miss you, brother.
It's okay, now I am a ninja.
Yeah. Not one bit. No, it was just like old home week. I forgot you were a co-host.
I'm Skype ninja. Like
all right. Yep,
like a bad.
Pete put something in the Etherpad about shortcuts for Linux beginners.
We're not going to get anything done. Nothing. We're not going to get nothing done.
We're just going to talk over Richard until he shuts up.
If
so
we okay.
Have you really got that much time? Lots of time, you know.
Have you really got that much time?
It's only like, what, 8:20 in Texas?
Until Richard shuts up. No, it's 9:22 in the evening. WCOJ.
You guys are further west than that. You must be in East Texas then.
He is in East Texas. He's in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
Because there's two time zones in Texas, isn't there?
Yeah. If you go way out west,
like I must confuse the hell out of all the Texans.
No, because the East Texaners don't visit the west part.
Do any of us know what's going on?
No.
Is there like a Mason-Dixon line in Texas?
hang on.
Yeah, Dallas and points west.
It's Texas.
All right.
Russ.
Yeah.
Russ.
Yeah.
I have a message from Brenda.
Okay.
She wanted me to tell you to tell me to shut the hell up.
I'll leave that up to her.
I see. Okay, y'all go ahead. Y'all run this thing. I'm just like an uninvited guest.
Well, no, we invited you. Instead of an uninvited guest, you're more like an invited pest.
Must have missed it.
See,
now y'all can't think of anything to talk about.
No. Oh, there's some shortcuts for Linux beginners on a website that Pete might talk about
like
here.
That. Pete, are you a Linux beginner?
I'm, I always say I am, but I've been playing with Linux for about 6 years. However, I don't play with it enough that I'm not always comfortable. I'm not.
And you're lucky you haven't gone blind.
And I haven't gone blind, but that's because I don't play with myself enough.
There you have it.
Right from the horse's mouth. It's hung like one, too. Okay. Beep. Anyhow.
Sound bites are plenty.
Backing up.
No. The only time Russ is allowed to beep anybody or badger anybody is when they say
badger.
Well, that and the other one.
Ass.
No, that one will go through. Oh, Pete, by the way, do you know you said, like, I had to badger you twice last episode? Do you even know that happened, or were you just, you know, flying high and...
No, I remember one time. Probably it's probably just in the feedback at the end, within the same kind of context.
No,
saying the guy's name.
No, you threw an F-bomb out there, and Harrison was like, "Yeah."
He said,
"Badger."
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God, it's gonna be the bleep bleep episode, y'all. It's gonna be lots of bleeps and badgers.
Nope,
yes, sir.
No bleeps at all. Just gonna cut the whole section right out.
Oh crap.
Have another 5-minute podcast.
That's right.
There you go.
Haven't you noticed, Richard? The podcasts are only like 5 minutes now.
He doesn't listen anymore.
I've been bad. All I heard was the guy from Houston.
Mudie Christa Damanak.
And the guy from
that
Australia.
That was good, Russ. Russ just spoke French and you missed it, Richard.
I didn't speak French.
That's usually what everybody learns first in French is how to swear anyway, so I'm not surprised.
Same way in Spanish.
So, yeah, probably.
In fact, I was pretty fluent cussing in sign language for a while.
I know one.
Real sign language, that one-fingered wave, though.
Yeah, that's the one I know, too.
It's me and my wife.
Here's an experiment for you folks out there, and it has absolutely nothing to do with ham radio or Linux, and I'm here to make sure that I do my best to get as much hate mail coming into this show as possible. However, if you know any deaf folks, and I'm only reminded of this because I had to communicate with a fellow at work today, not bad language. I just had to, like, talk to him about his car. And if you know any deaf folks, you ask them what the sign is for people meeting, and then you ask them what the sign is for two people meeting, and you've got your first cuss word. Am I going to have to explain it to y'all?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe we'll just look it up later.
I don't know. Y'all need to do a show or something. I'm going to go tell people to bite me in the chat room.
Yes.
There you go.
I already did it once.
It's like throwing a bone. We'll watch him run after it and start.
Yeah. Where's my stick?
All right. Pete, talk about some shortcuts. But
we digress.
We're shooting guns in the house again, kids. Pete, please tell us about shortcuts for Linux beginners.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not necessarily for beginners, but it's EFYtimes.com, another web journal that I like, electronics for you. So if you go to www.efytimes.com, you'll see a whole bunch of commands. What do they call them? The article is called Important Shortcuts for Linux Beginners. I guess it is. Well, they say it's for beginners, but I was looking at some of these and not sure what I would do with some of them. But check them out. I have not listed them all here. They will be in the show notes, but they have, I don't know, a couple examples. TTY, this command is used to print the name of the terminal that you're currently using. Tab, T-A-B, when you're using a text terminal, you can use this command to autocomplete a command. There's only one option, and the command is completed automatically, blah, blah, blah. Arrow up is used to scroll up in the edit in the command history. I don't know, there's probably like 20 or 30 of them. Control plus S, use this command if you want to stop a transfer to a terminal. See, I'm a beginner, and I would never do that, so I think it's more for the intermediate user personally. But. Well, anyhow, check. I just thought it was interesting. I came across them via the Linux Today News website, and I just thought it was an interesting article posted on August 21st.
Well, I will say a couple of things about this list. First of all, tab for tab completion is great, but not all shells support it. Bash does, but things like CSH and TCSH don't. So don't expect tab completion to work unless you're using a born shell. TTY is the only one of these I didn't know. There's a couple I would throw in here that aren't there. One is the up and down arrows, which actually scroll up and down through your command history. I'm not sure that was actually in there. I don't think it was. If you're in a terminal window and you want to scroll back through all of your command history, you use the up arrow and down arrow, you can do that. And another command that's really cool that a lot of people may not know about is Control R. What you can do is, let's say you were doing a lot of command line stuff in a session and it's all stored in your bash history. This, of course, applies only to born shells again. But all of those commands are stored. You can configure how many of them are stored, but usually it falls to like 100 or 500 or something like that. You can make it unlimited if you like. But anyway, let's say you were using OpenSSL to create certificates or whatever, and you needed to create another one, but you forgot the command syntax. Well, while you're at a command line, you can type Control R. And when you do type Control R, it'll say reverse I search. And you start typing OpenSSL, and as you start typing it, it will fill in from your history commands that match that expression. So it will go to the last time you did OpenSSL or anything that sort of matches that. So you can find the way you did something in the past if you don't remember what that in fact was. Control R is very handy, and that didn't make the list. Maybe that's a little more advanced. Maybe that's not for beginners. But it's a cool command anyway.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it was the person who wrote the article who chose these, I'm guessing, because I'm sure there's a whole lot more keyboard shortcuts. But I know, interesting nonetheless, that I'm sure there's a place somewhere where you could find all of these. I mean, there's even some, dot and two dots that kind of bring me back to the days of DOS command lines. So it's kind of, it was interesting.
Ted in the chat room says that if you happen to be one of those weird people who's using a corn shell, KSH, or the Z-Shell, ZSH, the tab completion also works. One thing that is interesting is they threw in here job control. They didn't say it's called job control, but using the control Z command to stop a process that's running, they sort of left out the benefit of that. Yes, you can stop a process that's running, but that means it stays in a stopped state, and they didn't give you the commands to restart it. Maybe a little of oversight there. But anyway, the commands to restart, basically what happens is when you stop a process, you can type jobs, J-O-B-S, to see what processes are stopped. And if you have one there, they're assigned a number, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And if you want to bring that process back to the foreground so that it continues to run, you can type FG and then a space and then the number of the process. Or if you do FG, it will do the last process that was stopped. And if you do BG, that will push the process into the background. And then if you push it into the background, you can resume using your terminal while that process continues to run. You know, they put in there the control Z thing about stopping a process, but then completely forgot to include any information about job control. Again, maybe this is useful. Most of these, I mean, the average Linux noob should know most of these things, like switching between terminals, Control-Alt-F1, Control-Alt-F7. And by the way, the X graphical environment is not always on terminal F7 or terminal 7, console 7, whatever. It could be on 6, it could be on 8, it could be on 2. It just depends on your distro.
I guess this is for the beginner, Linux beginners to the command line, and not someone who you would just hand like a Linux Lite or Crunchbang CD and say, here, try this, and maybe it will switch you from Windows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know. It's
labeled, I guess. I don't know. But maybe some beginners are just faster than me, I guess. I'm just not a huge user of the command line.
Yeah, it's a list, and you can read it. So it will be in the show notes. Go check it out.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, definitely. In the chat room, somebody just posted a picture of Richard's gun, which strangely is standing up on his desk, not just lying there.
No, that's Cheryl's gun.
Oh, that's...
Mine's big and black.
What was I thinking? Yours is bigger, is it?
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to capture it. Mine is big and black. Yep.
There's a sound bite right there.
Agent all provocateur. Yeah.
That's a cute gun. That's a cute little gun there. Is that a 9mm?
Which one are we talking about?
The silver one.
Posted a picture of the Taurus.
Oh, the Taurus. No, yeah, it's a 9mm.
Okay. That's a cute little gun.
It is not a cute little gun. That's a hefty gun. If you saw it up close, you would not consider it cute.
Ah, yes, I would. I love guns. I told you. I'm not kidding. I love guns. I think they're the coolest things in the world. I love playing with them. Not when I'm drunk.
You said you haven't.
When the hell else would you play with them?
I was in my 20s. I have children now. I have to be more responsible.
While you're drunk in the house.
Wait till they go to sleep.
Yeah, it's frowned upon in the city.
All right, let's talk about one of our hated subjects, HRD.
I know, the hated subject that won't go away.
I love HRD.
You love to hate, so I actually don't mind it. I used it a little bit. It's nothing wrong with it. It's very hefty, but I certainly don't mind it. But anyhow.
It's the Windows of ham radio software.
HRD is, let's see, I'll do this in two parts. For those of you in the chat room, you guys have about 4 days left until August 31st to download the free version of HRD. After that, it will no longer be available. For those who are listening via podcast, you have not been able to download a free version of HRD since August 31st. Yeah, no longer available for download in the archives section of the website. Basically, the website says all 5.x5. 5.x files, excuse me, will be removed from the server on September 1st, 2013. You may host these files on your server or have them on a CD, but you may not charge for the CD or the access to your server. So basically, they're still allowing people to distribute it to keep them on their servers. They're not going to keep it on their own. So now, of course, you can get Ham Radio Deluxe as a paying version. And trying to smoothly transition, but I can't click on the link. I can't remember the cost, but basically you're paying for a license. They give you a year's support and this and that. If you pay for your license once, you'll get to keep that license and you'll get the support for only 1 year, but only 1 year. After that, if you want support after that year, you have to pay again. If you don't need the support, you don't have to pay again. But it was something like $139.99. See, I can't click on this link now. So somebody help me out. Can you guys click on the link that says Southgate Origin News, August 2013?
I had that open, and I just closed it.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now it works for some reason. Anyhow, so $99.95 for the full version. And then $139.95 for the subscription with Radio Operations Center, which is basically rig control. So you pay an extra $40 if you want rig control. Boo, okay. HRD.
And that's actually enough about almost everything. So I think it's time to take a break, and we'll move this last topic to afterwards. Pete, take it away.
Not a problem. The second tune for tonight is by a band called I'm Bad Like Jesse James, which you would think is more country than it really is. But tune's called Space Echo from the album With Slippers, courtesy of Jamendo again. The band is from Liège in Belgium, runs 432, so a nice long one for you guys. Need to run to the bathroom. This dates back to 2011 and is in the pop folk category. They also mentioned country, but I don't really get a whole lot of country feel from this. But it's kind of it's a different tune. Hope you guys like it.
Fudgesicle.
It is a lot like Fudgesicle, yeah. But
it'd be worse.
Since there's
a little stanky thing in there too, I ain't gonna tell nobody.
Yeah. So you're from Texas, Richard. Did you get any country out of that?
No, it sounded more like sort of poppy, new wavy kind of. Not a lot of country.
I'm kind of in ABBA myself.
Oh, I like ABBA too. I don't mind ABBA, but interesting band. I'd just like to thank Dan from Rat Hole Radio. Dan is Dan Lynch from Linux Outlaws. Also does a podcast called Rat Hole Radio, and I heard him play this probably about a year and a half ago, actually. And I came across it quite by accident a few months ago, and I thought it would be a neat tune to play. It's interesting. It's Space Echo, but it's when they sing, they say Space Echo. And Belgium, Liège is very French, of course, and Nico in French is how they say it. So usually when people sing, you don't make out an accent, but in this band, I find that you could totally make out the French accent.
Yeah,
well, you know, you pick out an accent every time Justin Bieber sings.
What accent is that?
Little gay baby.
I was going to say douchebag.
I was going to say, I could see that one coming a mile away, but I listen to a lot of Justin Bieber because I have two girls. One's 8 and one's 12.
Oh, yeah.
It's not because I want to.
Better than the other guys.
A lot of no direction, too.
We probably need to get on with y'all's topics because it's like y'all's show. I'm just visiting.
Well, after the show, you can talk about all the stuff you want. We'll record it.
I know, and you're going to charge for it.
Well, sure.
We're not doing that bad. We're only about an hour and a half in.
What the hell is PAE?
Well, should have been listening to the beginning of the show. We're not going over that again. Sorry. Anyway, I just downloaded a copy of Linux Lite because Pete said I should. So why don't we discuss that for a few minutes? All right, Excellent. Pete, tell us about Linux Lite. Even though it's an Ubuntu distribution, I'll let you have some time on the show for it.
It is a Ubuntu distribution, and the reason I decided to chat about it is because...
Wait a minute. It's a what distribution?
He said Ubuntu, right.
Sorry, it's a Linux. It's a Linux distribution.
Wait a minute. Russ, did we not
agree? It's not a Ubuntu distribution. It's a Linux distribution.
Russ, did we not agree like 100 and something episodes ago that it was going to be pronounced a certain way?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Ubuntu, but
I'm not from Texas, y'all.
Wait a minute. Have you not read the contract?
He didn't get the contract. Yeah, we're still in the trial phase.
Retroactive. Yeah, I'm still on probation.
Well, if he keeps talking funny, you're going to have to give him a boot and get somebody else.
Double secret probation.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'll suffer through it.
All right, that's your cue.
I was muted. It's the first time this episode. That's not bad.
I bet y'all wish I had a mute button.
I do that all the time, Richard. You have no idea. If you don't listen, I just mute myself, and then I just start talking. And then two sentences in, Russ will go, Pete, are you there? And then I'll look up, and I'll go, God, I was muted. Again. Anyhow. And scene. All right. Linux Lite 1.0.6. I ran across this on my usual website, linuxtoday.com. This was a couple of days ago. And I thought it was an interesting little distribution. The catchphrase was Linux Lite is a Ubuntu or Ubuntu LTS-based operating system for Linux newbies. And I thought, well, for newbies, let's check it out. Certainly fall into that category. So it took me 8 minutes to download the ISO, 735 megabits, the 32-bit ISO. It's also available in 64, of course. Strangely, the 64-bit is only 723 megs. I would have thought it would have been bigger, but there's more bits after all. But hey, what do I know? You could check them out at the linuxliteos.com. Its features, it's based on Ubuntu 12.04 LTS, which LTS actually stands for long-term support. They claim that you won't have to download or reinstall another copy for 5 years. It comes with all the, a lot of the usual suspects, Libre, Office, XF Burn for your CD and DVD needs, VLC, which is awesome, Firefox, the GIMP, OpenJDK V6, Thunderbird, which is an email application, XFCE 4.8, and the kernel is 3.2.0.40 PAE. Now we all know what PAE is. One of you guys can probably tell me. I don't know what OpenJDK is, if you guys could enlighten me on that.
That's Java. The Java Development Kit.
Ah, okay, thank you. Well, there you go. So that means that it's probably, they claim that it runs right out of the box. The system requirements are quite low. It works on low level systems, minimal hardware requirements, 700 meg processor plus 512 megs of RAM, which is nothing now. You may as well have no RAM nowadays if you only have 500 megs. 5 gigs of hard drive space, which is quite a bit. I was actually surprised to see that, but not hard to come by. You have to have VGA capable 1024 768, which is also not too hard to come by. This older machine I have here, the T43, will go up to 1280 actually, and it's a 10-year-old machine. So, and it requires a CD drive or a USB port for the ISO. You can get a full review at the techmint.com website. Posted on, just check on August 22nd. And basically, check it out. I downloaded the ISO. I plugged it in onto the T43. For some reason, it didn't boot up at first, but I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's just something that I did, but the second time around, worked like a charm. Very simple, very plain environment. It's very stylish in its simplicity. And basically, it has everything you need. Bluetooth was activated. The internet was there. Basically, anything that a newbie would need is right there. Thunderbird requires configuration and et cetera, like you would on any new machine. A little bit of tweaking is in order. But anybody can just kind of plug this in and just go. Anybody who's used to a Windows environment, like I said, because it's Ubuntu-based, it's very, very similar in its look. It's got a very Ubuntu feel to it. So if you're not Ubuntu fans, then stay away. Run like it's the plague. But if you want to check it out, it's a fun little distribution. I only had a chance to play with it for about an hour before I had to get ready for the show, because I only found it yesterday and we had a chance to play with it today. But I know Russ played around with it, so what did you think of it, Russ?
I'm actually playing around with it right now. And there
Russ
are
Russ is couple- playing with it now.
That's right. I'm I'm playing with it right now. That's right. I'm playing with it vigorously.
There's so much playing around. I'm surprised you both ain't gone blind.
Yeah. There are a couple of things I would like to say about it. The first is that the desktop wallpapers, this is one of the things that sort of separates distributions for me, is the images, whether they be graphical or photographical, desktop images that they package with them always excite me if they're different and nice. And the ones that are packaged with this distribution are pretty outstanding. I believe they're all photographical, but they're pretty amazing. There's this one of colorized water on a leaf that's just really, really cool. The desktop, I don't know if you mentioned the desktop environment, but it's XFCE, if you didn't, on top of Ubuntu. And basically, what's nice about the fact that it's Ubuntu is, from the new perspective, a lot of the stuff that you'll need is installed by default, and some of those things are a very stylish-looking version of the Pulse Audio Volume Control panel. This is probably the nicest looking volume control panel that I've seen for Pulse Audio, using the actual PA tools as opposed to, you know, the GNOME tools or whatever. And of course, you can't use the GNOME tools here because this is XFCE. Another thing that's interesting is it comes out of the box with support for, you know, multimedia codecs and DVD libraries, the Java development platform, Flash, etc., etc. So you'll have access to all that stuff. But since it's Ubuntu, it also gives you access to Steam. So if you're a gamer and you know the Steam engine and you want to be able to get games and download them and all of that using Steam, that comes installed by default. And of course, Ubuntu also comes with the VirtualBox and VMware. I think it does both. It's VMware for sure, but VirtualBox as well, I believe. Guest editions pre-installed. So even when you're running it from the live CD, those extensions are enabled. So, you know, the automatic screen resizing, full screen mode, 3D acceleration, stuff like that, that are provided by the guest extensions are enabled by default. So it's very cool. And, you know, it did install a little slowly for me, but I was doing the online thing where I downloaded all of the proprietary stuff during the install. So it was a little laggy when I was actually installing it into a virtual machine environment, but now that I'm actually running it off the hard disk, it's blazingly fast. The menus are very intuitive. Right-click context menus do exactly what you expect they should. Everything is at your fingertips. And if I actually liked XFCE a little bit more than I really do, then I would probably use this distribution because it looks good, it runs fast, and everything is done for you right from the outset. I actually like it. I think it's a good little distribution, and if it could easily be used as a ham radio box type distro. It doesn't have that stuff in there by default, but the Ubuntu repos have most of the software, so it could easily be used as a ham shack machine.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a good little CD to give out at you know, at your trade booth and stuff like that too, if you're trying to turn people on to Linux. I mean, Mint is always a nice default, pretty one, but it could be a little bit heavy if you have an older machine. And like, you know, like very much like CrunchBang, I'm always looking for smaller distributions that'll run my very, very outdated equipment here. So that was very excited to see that. One problem that I did have, and maybe it's because I was running the ISO, didn't seem to have support for dual screens. I was running it on a laptop. The laptop that I have here, the famous IBM T43, has a VGA port, a VGA out port, which I have an LCD 19-inch VGA VGA connected screen to it. I'm sounding so intelligent tonight, but anyhow, I couldn't find any way to. They were both activated, but they were cloned. I couldn't find a way to extend the desktops. Maybe if I did a full install, I would be able to do that. And then when I tried to put it to sleep, it did a weird thing where it just kind of froze. And again, I'm not sure if it's just maybe the CD drive on this thing is starting to go, or. But I'm definitely going to install it and play with it some more and you know, take it around the block, as it were.
There is in the main menu a display configuration that should have given you access to your multiple monitors and all that. You may have had to install the proprietary drivers if you have like an NVIDIA card or something. But installing proprietary drivers is actually right on the main menu as well. If you go to the main menu, click on settings, there is actually an option for installing drivers. And if there's anything proprietary that the system needs in order to run, it will detect them for you and install it. It's not coming up with any proprietary display drivers for me because I'm running it in a virtual machine environment, but it did come up with the VirtualBox guest editions and they're already installed and I didn't have to do a thing.
Would it let me do that if I was just running the ISO, though, you know?
I would assume that it runs the same on the ISO as it does from the installed version. I mean, that's kind of the purpose of a live CD, so you should be able to do it. Of course, it won't be persistent, but, you know, it, you should.
Okay, yeah, I was always wondering about that, because if you're running the ISO, I guess it just keeps your different settings and downloads in some sort of virtual place and just erases them when you boot back into your regular system?
Yeah, it uses a RAM disk.
I wasn't that far off. See, I am learning, people.
You're learning,
what do you think,
people?
Richard?
Yep, that's pretty typical.
It's Perry the Platypus.
Space Hicko. Space Hicko.
Fudge Sicko. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what the hell were y'all talking about?
I don't know. Some distribution or other.
I was flipping, snoring. I tell you what, one of these days I'm going to create my own distribution. The only difference between it and Ubuntu is going to be, it's going to have a background, going to be a picture of Desi Arnaz with his conga drum. I'm going to call it Balubuntu.
You do that.
Ba-dum-bump.
I'll buy that for free.
Actually, I think I'm going to give that one a try. I've been looking for a small one to put on something. I can't remember what it was, but I got something around here I need to put a small distribution on. And Crunchbang, I don't know if they're still developing that or not.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Because last time I looked at it, it looked like it was stagnant. So, I'm going to have to check this one out. Bad as I dislike Ubuntu now.
Linux Lite seems like a good option. It's not damn small Linux, but it's definitely not as heavyweight as some of the big ones, like Ubuntu itself.
Well, it's gotten to the point I have to go with stripped down versions of stuff and then add the tools that I am used to and like. You know, You can't hardly get like,
we know how you and strippers are.
Well, yeah, I love and been loved. Yes, sir. that one goes in the box. Yeah, buddy. Actually, it's like, what the hell is it? I'm running Linux Mint on this box I'm talking on, unfortunately. And I had to strip out Pluma and put Nautilus in because I like it better. And the text editor, I had Gedit. Yeah, I had to like do that too. And anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to have to check this out. I went over and looked at the website. I know y'all couldn't hear me, but I did. And I'm going to have to check it out. It's got GIMP. I've been having a lot of fun with that. Yeah. I hope it can run Audacity.
Of course it can run Audacity.
I hope it does. And see, it's got the right resolution for my old gray laptop.
Try it out. No, yeah. You were saying Crunchbang.
Y'all were expecting something witty.
The old gray laptop, she ain't what she used to be?
No, I was saying, y'all were expecting something witty. Seriously, I dozed off over here. Go ahead.
No, you were saying Crunchbang. They were stagnant for a long time because I'm a fan of Crunchbang. I think I've said that like 3 times this episode. But they for a long time, they didn't do anything. And then just a few months ago, they released a version. And we talked about it. Actually, Harrison talked about it last episode. So,
well, can you get it on a CD?
You can.
Of course you can.
That's what I want to know, because I got a stack of 100 CDs over here, and you can't put a disc. It seems like you can't put a distro on a CD anymore.
Oh yeah, you can, just not Ubuntu.
Linux Lite will fit. It's just under 800, so you're good.
Yep.
Maybe.
You know, you don't need CDs anymore. You can use USB sticks.
But I got 100 blank ones sitting here in a stack. What am I going to use them for, Russ?
Coasters.
Coasters, exactly. Crunchbang 64-bit and 32-bit will fit.
If you get pipe cleaners, you can turn them to spiders, like really cool-looking spiders, and you can hang them from the ceiling.
Actually, if I toss them in the air just right, some of the folks around here might think it's a UFO invasion.
You could use them as clay pigeons. But they're not clay.
Yeah, no, I had to trade my shotgun for some tools.
Yeah, another cool thing about both Linux Lite and Crunchbang is they can be downloaded via torrent. I'm a huge fan of torrents. Everybody should use torrents. You have a couple of announcements, Pete. We probably should move on so we can end this thing before
eternity.
Yeah, that's right. Shut up, Richard.
It's going to be an editing nightmare for us. Yeah,
did you hear me about Crunchbang being downloadable, 32 and 64-bit, both fit on a CD?
Yeah, he said all that.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure.
And there's a full review over at www.techmint.com, linux-at-1-0-6-review. Y'all go check it out.
Already did.
It'll be in the show notes.
He didn't say that part.
Harrison, who's listening, is going to put it in the show notes. Right, Harrison? Right, he says. Anyhow, moving on. Announcements. This was from Radio Amateurs of Canada. I got a bulletin from them emailed to me just a few days ago. And they are advertising their next simulated emergency test, or SET, as it's called. Ours is in the Radio Amateurs of Canada's coordinating the Canadian version, scheduled for October 19th. And because of a conflict with Thanksgiving on October 12th, they decided to move it forward. So they just wanted to send out a reminder that groups are encouraged to hold their set any weekend that is convenient. The important thing is to participate. And the reason I specify Canada is because I looked it up on the ARRL side, and I couldn't find an exact date, but it seemed to be later in October. So I'm not sure that Canada and the U.S. coordinate their simulated emergency tests. Maybe Richard could talk to this, because I know you're pretty involved in the emergency communications world. But I would have thought that this would have all been done at the same time, kind of like Field Day. But I couldn't find any date for the American version of said test.
As far as coordination, that's never been a never been a big thing. As far as the set's concerned, I think it's always been one of the early weeks in October. I'm taking trying to grab a look at it real quick. September? No. Oh, okay. Apparently they've spread it out where trees here in the U.S. are able to do it anywhere from September 1st to November 30th. So, they, instead of having it happen all at the same time, apparently they've spread it out over, what's that, 3-month window. And, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Of course, I've been kind of out of it. I've had my head in the sand doing other things, but,
It doesn't make sense in a way, but I'm wondering, because your simulated emergency test is probably very local communications anyways, maybe it really doesn't matter if all the groups don't have them at the same time?
Well, you know, in the case of a set, it's normally each group coordinates their own situation down here. It's like City of Garland will have theirs, Dallas County will have theirs. When you get to the state level, yes, we have state areas, but it's busted up into three sections, whereas we have state races, which covers the entire state. Races is a bigger thing down here. I'm not sure if y'all have an equivalent up there in Canada or not, but it's more of a, it's more heavily tied into the government and the emergency management agencies at the federal level here. But as far as ARRL is a ARRL thing, even though the local level governmental agencies take advantage of it. If something really bad happens, it might start off as ARRL, but as soon as the situation gets federalized, it's RACES, and it's pretty much gets locked down as federal business. It can't stay that way that long because they don't have the personnel to man everything, but that's kind of the way it works out. It, plus, it gives the ARRL guys a little more latitude to set up more effective situation or more effective simulated emergency tests for their situation.
It's kind of the same thing up here, but for some reason, emergency communications, there's not such a big emphasis on emergency communications here. Probably because we haven't suffered as many natural disasters as you guys do, you know, being so far up north. We got a lot of snow and we're used to it. So, you know, you got a little bit of ice like we did in 97, and they call it an ice storm, but most people don't freak out too badly.
They get a quarter of an inch of rain in Dallas and they shut down the airport.
Yeah, I know. There's cities like that too here. Vancouver doesn't get a lot of snow, and when they do, it kind of shuts everything down. But anyways, we don't have the culture of emergency communications and safety that the U.S. does, and I commend you guys for that, because if there's one thing you have over us, it's certainly that. And I'm not sure if it's the only reason, but RAC controls our emergency coordination, I guess, and there's a lot of local groups. And they are some that are active, and they're quite local, but it's certainly not as spread out. We have a branch of Saturn up here, too, with the nice people who ring the bells. I'm having a total mind blank.
Salvation Army.
Thank you.
That was horrible. When there was a local VHF Saturn net here in DFW, you're talking to the training officer. So I know what you're talking about. And what Russ said, nah, it's not exactly like it. I mean, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if we get 1 inch of snow, the entire North Texas area is paralyzed. However, if there's a 3-inch sheet of ice on the ground, it's business as usual.
And you probably don't mind, you know, if it's pretty windy, too. I mean, you get used to your natural disasters, you know.
Hey, look, Russ is, like, typing stuff. He's adding more stuff. He wants this thing to go on. And this is going to be an epic 8-part episode, y'all. Y'all hang in there.
Anyway, there's a new HF Youth Net. I'm going to cut Richard off before he jumps in there.
And, yeah. As he segues.
That's right. And back.
Yeah.
meanwhile, this, back at the show. The source
from this one was the Yarp Hams podcast. If you guys haven't checked those guys out, I'll give them a quick plug. Yarp Hams is the Yarp is for Youth and Amateur Radio podcast. And just Google Yarp Hams podcast. It'll be your first hit. And it's four or five young guys, somewhere between the ages of 12 and 17, that put out a podcast that is specifically geared to youth in amateur radio. So for youth, by youth. So it's very cool. So I listen to their podcast regularly. And on the last podcast, they were announcing that there's a new HF Youth Net as of last June 14th called the Amateur Radio Youth Support Net, or ARYSN, if you're into acronyms. They debuted for the first time on 14.290 megahertz at 2100 UTC. That's on every Monday and Friday of every week. The goal of the ARYSN, or the Amateur Radio Youth Support Net, is to promote, of course, youth in amateur radio and to encourage more kids to get into the hobby. It's organized by Jesse Schullins, KB1YNK, who's 15 years old, and Cameron Smith, KF5HQB, who's 18. They really hope to get as many check-ins and support as possible for their net. So you don't have to be a youth to check in. They encourage anyone because, you know, if you only have youth, well, the youth would like to talk to some experienced hams, probably figure out how to, you know, build an antenna, put up an antenna, do whatever it may be. So I've been in touch with Jesse via Facebook, Jesse KB1YNK, and we're in the process of scheduling an interview with these guys for an upcoming episode. And they were very excited that we're going to give them a quick plug. So good on you guys, Jesse and Cameron. Keep up the good work. I was planning on checking into the net, but it hasn't happened yet. But I definitely will be doing that in the near future. And I encourage everyone who is on HF to go check them out. Or you can also check them out on Facebook. Sorry, facebook.com. And they are ARYSN Radio. Of course, this will all be in the show notes.
So let's go to feedback.
All right. I'm going to do my bit of feedback and then I'll let Pete do his. I just found this one in the website when I was looking at it and I forgot about it because I forgot to approve his comment. But Chris W. sent us a comment via the website and he said, wow, just listen to this episode. I don't remember which episode he was referring to, but it doesn't really matter. My first time. I like a good guitar solo as much as the next guy, but an intro that lasts well over a minute. Maybe I was just impatient to see what this podcast was about, but it seemed a bit long. So obviously I think this guy's in Adam Curry's camp, but be that as it may, I don't know if Pete noticed this, but I cut the intro really short this time.
I did. I was shocked. It's like, oh my God, I got to talk now.
So, Chris, I hope you will hear this and listen to the next episode. I am cutting the intro down to less than 30 seconds. So we're going to do what everybody says we should do, which is just jump right in, get to the meat of the matter, and then we'll bring Richard on so he can
badger
us all to the rest of the time.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We paid a lot of money for that music.
Yeah, I guess. Let's
stop playing it.
And I bet y'all haven't pimped a band in the last 12 episodes.
We have. I actually played one of their songs on the last episode.
Okay. We paid a lot of money for that. And it's not my fault. It was Russ's idea. However, it's part of the character of this particular show. And I understand that I don't have as big a stake around here as I used to was. But, Chris, bite me. Because the long intro, the music in the middle, I'm sure that you have podcasts that you like that don't have any music. It's all part of the character of Linux and Ham Shack. It's what made Linux and Ham Shack the show it is today. And quite honestly, Russ can do whatever he wants because it's like always been his show. He just never would admit it. However, he is like the chief production officer, and he can do whatever the hell he wants to. So what I suggest is you go have a cup of coffee with the gentleman who's had us start saying Ubuntu. And y'all have a lovely, lovely day.
As much as I would like to be able to do whatever I want when it comes to the show, I do sort of bow a little bit to pressure from the community, because I would rather be doing something not quite as I prefer and have people listen to it than be doing it all for myself and me being the only person who actually hears it.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, if you care about your listening public, you got to take the feedback, not take it personally, first of all. I mean, that's a great comment, Chris, you know, and that's a very valid comment. I hadn't heard it before. I actually, you know, opposite to Richard, I actually agree with Chris. I also think that it's a little bit too long. Not that I have a problem with the tune or the band, but you just hear it. It's the same tune week after week after week. Whereas your musical interludes in the episode, well, it's different music every week, so it doesn't really matter if it lasts 2, 3, 4 minutes. But, you know, I didn't mind it. I also won't mind if it's cut to 30 seconds.
Right. So next week on episode 113, the intro will be this. And this is episode number 113, so.
You gotta go at least 16 beats. 16 beats.
At least 16 beats? Oh, okay.
I would like to take a moment to point out to all the folks listening to us in the feed, and those of us following in the chat room, and those who may actually hear this section in the release version. You notice that pretty train laying over on its side next to the tracks. Yes, Richie did it again.
Yep.
Got a comment in the chat room from Symbola. I have no idea how you want me to pronounce that. It says, I can skip past the intro if I need to, so no need to shorten it, he says. So if you're listening via podcast, that's true. You could just kind of fly past it.
I kind of figured that was the case for everybody, where if you really want to skip past the music and stuff, you could just, you know, hit the fast forward button. But for some people, that appears to be an issue. So I don't mind making a concession here and there. But anyway, we've talked way too much about this, and I want to hear about this email, this interview we're going to be doing with some folks that people who listen to this show may already know about.
Ebola?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're not going to be talking about Ebola. Well, maybe. Who knows? I've been in touch with Richard, KD0RG. And for those of you who don't know the new call sign, Richard has just recently, the last few months, upgraded to General. Formerly KD0BJT, host of the Low SWR podcast, who wrote in response to my interview, Pete, I've been meaning to congratulate you on LHS. You're doing a great job. And he says he never misses a single episode. He says that we help to bring focus to the subject, and he likes the Linux content. So he also likes to, he wanted to thank us for mentioning Ham OS on the show multiple times, because he says he's pretty horrible at promoting his own distribution. So Richard, KD0RG, is the developer of the Ham OS software. So we've been in touch, and we're going to be interviewing them most likely towards the end of September or beginning of October. Those guys, their family's in the process of moving right now, so things are a little bit hectic, but they'd be more than happy to come chat about themselves, their podcast, and the Ham OS distribution. So thanks a lot, Richard and Brady, for your support, and we look forward to having you guys with us.
Definitely. I can't wait to talk to Rich and Brady. I've talked to them before at Hamvention, and of course, I've left them feedback over on their show, and I've listened to every episode of the Low SWR podcast. I kind of miss it. Rich tends to get a little nutty when he's behind the microphone. It would be actually interesting to talk to him on the air. I've never gotten a chance to do that. I would like to sometime, but can't wait to talk to those guys. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I've listened to every single episode. They're very sporadic, their episodes. I mean, they can, you know, be a couple of weeks, and then it'll be like 3 months before you hear from them again. And so, you know, you just got to kind of, I have them in my podcatcher, so I know when there's a new episode. I don't have to keep checking up on them, but they're certainly not consistent. Maybe we can convince them to do so, but they have something like, I don't know, 30 children. I have no idea. There seems to be a new kid in there every week.
They're not Amish, for crying out loud. What's funny is I don't know if anybody knows what Richard looks like physically, his personal appearance, but Richard is actually a trucker. He trucks between Colorado, where he lives, and Wyoming. To me, he is like the antithesis of what a trucker looks like. I mean, when you have the sort of vision of an American trucker, you have, you know, tough guy, short hair, muscly, you know, muscly, big arms, tattooed, kind of, you know, trucker guy. And Richard couldn't be further from that. And yet he is a trucker, which is kind of interesting to me. I'd actually like to kind of talk to him about his trucking career, which really has nothing to do with Linux or ham radio, but it's interesting to me.
Well, it's interesting to see where I'm the same. I think it's interesting to see where people came from, because where you are has a lot to do with where you've been. So it's interesting to see what people do and why they do it. And, you know, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be great. I look forward to it. It's one of my favorite ham radio podcasts, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we have really got to wrap this damn thing up. So let's do the social media roundup and kick it on out of here.
All right. Well, there's not a whole lot of activity in the social media roundup. I guess, you know, school starting next week, by the way. For those of you who have children, don't forget to send them back to school. What am I saying? Those of you who have children are going to be partying next week when they go back to school. We can all get back to our regular lives. But we had a little bit of activity on Facebook. We got some likes from Matthew M. and Tom R. So send you a like right back. Thanks for supporting us. And there you go. That's about it for social media this time around.
Yeah, pretty much it. I don't have anything to add to that. So I think it's about time to check out. We probably should say, hey, Richard, thanks for stopping by and screwing up our episode and making it 35 minutes longer than it really needed to be. But always glad to have you.
Oh, I'm glad to come by and make sure I throw a monkey wrench in the thing and everything else. I'm sure everybody was jonesing a little bit.
Have you been listening to the episodes? Just curious. Not to put you on the spot or nothing, but.
One or two.
Okay, cool.
That's how I know about Canadian bacon, Vegemite, and the smell of Houston.
Well, there you go. I was ecstatic to have you on. I hope you come back.
Ecstasy.
All right.
I rarely inspire that in men.
Glad to hear it. I'm glad that I live so far from Texas.
I'm starting the intro music, and we're going to get out of here on time. Okay. So, all right, Pete, lead us on out of here.
All right, everyone. Thanks to everyone, of course. Thanks to our monthly and yearly subscribers. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks to all of our listeners live and quasi live. Check out our website, lhspodcast.info. Of course, you could reach us at info@lhspodcast.info. That comes to both of us. You can leave us a voicemail. Please do. I love voicemails. 1-909-LHS-SHOW. 1-909-547-7469. You can subscribe to the mailing list. Find out what's going on. Link is on the website. Check us out on Facebook. Go to Cafe Press and Printfection and buy one of our show merchandise. This helps the show in a very small way, but every little bit helps. Of course, you can listen live, like some of you guys are doing right now, every other Tuesday at 8 p.m., or you can check out a recording via the website. So 7-3, everybody, from Pete, V2XPL, in Montreal. Over to you, Russ.
All right, and this is Russ, K5TUX. You've been listening to episode 112 of Linux in the Ham Shack. We're happy to have you all here. You can email me at k5tux@lhspodcast.info. info@lhspodcast.info goes to both Pete and I. And we will be happy to hear from you. You can also contact us in all the ways Pete just outlined. You can find me on all of the social media networks out there, from Facebook to Twitter to Google+. And just look for me via my call sign, K5TUX, or my initials that I usually use, J.R. Woodman. You'll be able to find me pretty much anywhere you look. I think that's pretty much it for this episode. We'll give Richard about 10 seconds to say something before I crank the music up and drown him out. So
That's all he gives me. Well, it was good to see all of y'all, and from Studio 1C, high above the city of Mesquite in the palatial penthouse studio, well, I won't see you next time, but we'll see you soon. I just want y'all to know I survived the great hobo migration of 2013.